We just read a passage from Mark 6:45-53, and I spoke of Bethsaida and Capernaum and Gennesaret. And when we look at the map up here, it's amazing how all of this is Galilee. And just before this event of feeding the 5,000, John the Baptist had been beheaded. The disciples had buried him, and they went from Nazareth to the sea and into a desert area. And the 5,000 men plus women and children went there. As we look up here on the map, it's going to tell us as we read in the scriptures that Jesus sent them to Bethsaida. Where exactly were they in this area? It's hard to know for sure. This whole area is Gennesaret. We'll see in a passage it says that they were heading toward Capernaum, and then they went to Bethsaida. When I think of reading this passage, I thought, this can sound confusing, but the way I look at it is like, well, we live in Florida, which could be Galilee, and I sometimes say, well, if people ask me where do I live, I say in Orlando, because Oviedo is such a small little town. And then to be more specific, I might say, well, I'm headed toward Winter Park, which might be toward Capernaum, but I'm going to end up here in Goldenrod, you know. And so that's kind of the way I see this, you know, as an analogy. And looking up on the world maps and things to try to find the town of Bethsaida is not there anymore. It's really just ruins. And so we won't see the town of Bethsaida tonight, other than I could have picked a couple of rocks and things. So with that being said, this is Gennesaret. We know that the Lord and the disciples were near this area. We do find that the Lord went into the mount to pray. It doesn't tell us which mountain, but there was a Mount Arbel right in the area. And, of course, when he said that he went into a mount to pray, doesn't mean he went all the way to the top of the mountain. But we know that he did go there to pray. We're going to compare the Gospels one with another, as I said earlier. And to look at this passage of going to Bethsaida, we need to look at not only Mark, as we just did, but Matthew and John. Now, in Mark, I pointed out these key things. I pointed out that they were going to Bethsaida, that Christ would have passed by them, that once he got into the ship, the wind ceased, and they were very amazed, so amazed beyond measure and wonder, and they didn't consider the miracle of the loaves and the fishes that had just passed. Let's turn now to Matthew 14. Matthew 14 in 22 to 33. And immediately, or straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, and to go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, and it was tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went on to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And when they were in the ship, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. A couple of important points here that I want to point out. Here in Matthew, verse 26, they saw him and thought it was a spirit. Thought he was a spirit, and they cried out. Why didn't they recognize this was Christ? Does that bother you? Was it because of the wind and the waves? Was it because it was difficult to see? Peter saw him. Okay. But why didn't they recognize him? Maybe their eyes weren't on the Lord. Maybe their eyes were on the storm. Maybe they just didn't expect the Lord to come walking out there. You may have your own maybes, your own thoughts. Another thing that we see here is in verse 28 to 31. It says, Peter walked on the water, and when he saw the wind and was afraid, he began to sink, and he cried, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out and caught him. O ye of little faith. Well, Peter had some faith, or he wouldn't have stepped out of the boat. But he took his eyes off of the Lord. How many times do we face a fear and we cry upon the Lord and we step toward him, but then we get distracted by our fears and we say, Lord, save me. You know, I turned away from you. And the Lord's been there all along, but we have looked at the storm that is around us instead of looking at him. Verse 33. Then they in the ship worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I believe it's at this verse that their faith, their fear, turned to faith. I believe that even though they'd seen the miracles and that he had just fed the 5,000, and we're going to remember that their hearts were hardened because of that event. And why was that? And so here they are, and they're finally recognizing the Christ, our Lord and Savior. Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. What a revelation. And yet, all through Scripture, we see that not only this time did the disciples not have the total faith that they should have, how many more times in Scripture? What about at the cross? Where were they? What about after the cross? Where were they? And yet, Christ had been leading them through faith and building their faith all through Scripture, all through those approximately 3 years of his walk. And he was there. And it wasn't until after the resurrection and he came back. And of course, they received the Holy Spirit that finally their faith was complete. When we get born again, our faith is in him. Our salvation is in him. But does our faith waver from time to time? I know mine does. I know many times I get to looking at the storm. I get to looking at the seas. And I begin to think that I've got to fight and row against it. Remember it said that the waves, the wind was contrary to them. It was pushing them the opposite direction. And they were struggling and struggling. And yet, where was their faith? We also see in this passage that verse 34, they came to the land of Gennesaret. So again, not to get too confused. The Scripture doesn't get confusing when you study it and you look at the area. We have our expert mapologist here in the room with us, and so Chuck could certainly straighten us out on that. And I should have confided in him before coming tonight. I know he would know. And of course, Dick is a wealth of information. Let's go to the next passage. Let's go to John chapter 6 and in verse 16 to 21. And here we're going to see a little more light on the same passage of Scripture. John 6, 16 to 21. And when evening was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. What things do we see different in this passage? In verse 17, it says, And it was now dark. I think as John is writing this passage, I think he's telling it like in hindsight. Okay? The others were telling it as almost they were right there. And John is reflecting back in hindsight. And this is the way I see it by the way he spoke. And he says, verse 17, they went over toward the sea, toward Capernaum. In verse 19, it says that they had rowed 25 to 30 furlongs. This is approximately 3 to 4 miles they had rowed. Well, how big was the Sea of Galilee? Approximately 8 to 13 miles, somewhat oval shaped as we saw from the map. So if they were around 3 to 4 miles, they were approximately right out in the middle. It said they were in the midst of the sea. Middle, or just out in the sea, but it seems to me that it was in the... Can you get from shore out in the middle? Which way do you... It's going to John seeing that speak. It was Jesus. But we already read that they didn't recognize him right away. And in verse 21, what an amazing verse. They received Jesus into the ship, and immediately the ship was at land. How can they be in the midst of the sea and then immediately at land? Isn't our God capable of doing all things? Where do you think the storm came from? It came from the Lord. Why do you think the Lord sent the disciples out there and didn't join them? He joined them before in the ship. In fact, we're going to look at those scriptures because there's a very important contrast between this episode when they were alone and a previous episode when Christ was with them in the sea in a storm and he was asleep in the boat. And they were afraid. Even then, with the Lord right there, they were afraid. Let's go to that area. Because I think it's important that we see that the Lord was sending them out alone, probably for several reasons in these passages we just read. But see, I think the Lord was also reflecting back, saying, You know, I was with you before, and you were afraid. I was right there in the boat with you and you were troubled and you woke me up and said, we're all going to die. We're in great jeopardy. And Jesus immediately calmed the sea. And yet, here in these passages, he wasn't with him. I think there was a test there. I think there was a test there to see if they would remember that Jesus would be there with them. Let us look at Matthew chapter 8. In verse 23 through 27. And this gives us our previous trip on the water. Jesus stills the waves. This is the one where there was the great storm, a great tempest, and then a great calm. And when he had entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea,
insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And what did we see in Matthew? Matthew 14, verse 33. We do see a change, finally, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. But at this point, what kind of man is this? Okay? Boy, the Lord had to work with them. He has to work with us. We go to Mark for the same passage. Mark, the same event. Mark 4, verse 36 to 41. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. It's amazing how, you know, Christ spoke the whole universe into existence. Why can't he say peace to the wind for it to be still? Why can't he say let the waves and the wind blow? Why can't he let trials not come into our lives? They do come. So he told the wind to cease. He said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. From a great tempest to a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so afraid? Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? See, in the previous chapter we looked at, in Matthew chapter 8, he says, O ye of little faith. Now, here in verse 40, he says, How is it that you have no faith? I wonder if some of them had a little faith, like Peter, but I wonder if others had no faith, like the rest of them that marveled when he got into the ship. I don't know, because it doesn't say the names, but we see, O ye of little faith. Peter had a little faith, but we saw others that didn't have any faith. Then we get to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, 22 to 25. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of the wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came unto him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a great calm. And now in verse 25 we see, and he said unto them, Where is your faith? Fear to faith. He's trying to bring them from their fears to their faith. We saw that he said, O ye of little faith. And then he said, How is it that you have no faith? And here he says, Where is your faith? We know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So let us move to some of my questions. I have a few slides in here I'd like to address. This is Capernaum. Okay, so back in here would be Gennesaret. As we're looking toward Capernaum, you could see why they were saying that they were heading toward Capernaum, because they were heading north toward Capernaum, but their destination was Bethsaida. So no real confusion there. What trial of their faith did they previously face when crossing the sea? The passages we just looked at. There was a great tempest. Jesus was asleep in the boat. And there was a great calm. And so here we see a depiction of the Lord asleep in the ship. I think sometimes my wife's surprised that I can kind of sleep through anything that happens. You know, I'm sorry, you know, when I go out, I'm gone, you know. Don't even try to wake me up without a bomb, and I better be right next to me. Okay. Now, for the remainder of our time, a little outline is I'm going to ask some questions, and I'm going to give you what my thoughts are on it. You might have different thoughts. You know, it's true that as we read Scripture, we see things that we didn't see before. And what a blessing that is as we study the Scriptures. We're going to look at the disciples. What did they do right? Yes, they did some things right on this trip. But what did they do wrong? What things could they have done differently? We're going to apply these passages to our own lives. And then we'll close with a conclusion. So as I say here on the slide, before we look at the questions, what did these passages teach us? We already know that in 2 Timothy 2:15, we're commanded to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I know there was at a time when I was reading these passages in Scripture that I was a young Christian and I was almost thinking them of the same event. And they're not the same event. And boy, when your eyes open that it's two different events and what happened in the previous one and now what happened in this one, you say, wow, look at what they went through and what lessons was Christ trying to show them. And now here they are alone, not really alone, but in body form. Christ was not in the boat. So each of us have different levels of light that the Lord has blessed us with. So I'm going to shed some light on some of the things that I think the Lord laid on my heart as we look at the questions. And as I ask these questions, I want to pause a little bit after each one to let you just stop and think for a second. What is that saying to me? And if we had more time, we could enter into a dialogue of Q&A, questions and answers, but we don't have that time. But I want to afford you a little time to stop and think about each of these questions. So the first five questions. Why did Jesus send them to Bethsaida? Why did He send them to Bethsaida? First of all, He sent them alone. Before, He went with them. This time He sent them alone. Why did He send them? It can be several things. One is, He's hoping that they will capitalize on the previous event, that Jesus was there in the boat and calmed the seas, that He's in control of all things. I think it was a test of their faith. I also think that it was a witness to others. As you read the passages, some passages that I didn't read, you'll find that the people saw the disciples go over and that there was only one ship that went over. And then they saw Jesus was over there and they weren't sure how He got there. So I think it was a witness or a testimony to the people. Question two. Why didn't He go with them? Well, one answer that we've already said is because He wanted to test their faith. How about that He wanted to go aside into the mountain to pray because He was exhausted? and John the Baptist had just been beheaded. And he had just fed the 5,000 and completed the miracle, the loaves and the fishes. And I say 5,000, let's remember that was the men, not the women and children. He could have been tired. And when we're tired, isn't there a place, a time when we should go away alone to pray, away from all of the crowds, all the crowds that had just depended upon him? And he went away to pray alone. Question 3, why did Jesus wait until the fourth watch before he went unto them? Here we see Jesus on the shore, in the mount to pray. How high, I don't know. But he could see them out in the midst of the sea, 3 to 4 miles out. I've been told that from the shore, when you're looking out at the ocean, you can see about 10 miles. Okay? So that helps me to see that he could have been on the shore and seen all the way across, okay, close to it if it was 8 miles at that point. But he was up at a little higher elevation and he could see them out in the midst of the sea. And this was at evening, okay? He saw them at evening and he stayed in the mountain to pray. Why didn't he go immediately to them? It says he waited till the fourth watch. This was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. That's a long time to be in a storm, suffering and afraid. And how many times are we in a storm that seems forever, and yet the Lord is watching us the whole time, and he knows that we're safe. And I think that it's something that he wanted them to learn, that he'd already been with them before. And now they're out in the midst of the sea and they forgot. They forgot again that he was there. He was there with them. He was praying for them. It was a test of their faith. Again, they were afraid and he wanted them to have faith. Question 4. Why did the disciples not recognize it was Jesus? So Jesus is walking nigh unto them and almost passed by them. Why do you think that they didn't recognize him as Jesus? For one, their thoughts weren't on him. Their thoughts were on the storm. Okay? Possibly the visibility was bad, but Peter recognized him. They were so concerned about the trial and the struggle that they lost sight of their faith and they looked at their fears. I can imagine, I mentioned earlier, what if they had been praying like they should have been? They would have been looking for the Lord and they would have been praising him all the more, saying, here he comes. We prayed for him and here he is. Doesn't the Lord do that in our lives? When we pray, doesn't he come? He's there all the time, but are we looking for him? So here we see Peter. Peter begins to sink. And this is going to bring us to our fifth question, which is why did Peter begin to sink? It's interesting that Ken had the same picture I found on the internet. It's amazing of these images you can find. Peter had a little faith. He stepped out of the ship, out of the boat. And why did he sink? Why did he begin to sink? You know, the Lord could have right then said, you know what? Peter's showing faith. I'm going to calm the sea right now. But he didn't. The storm continued on. And so Peter starts to walk on the water. And he takes his eyes off of the Lord. And again, he looks at the storm. His faith helped him to a point. But then what happened? He took his eyes off the Lord. How many times do we do that when we pray and we know the Lord is there and we're at peace and then all of a sudden we get the fear back again? What has happened to us? Nothing has changed. It's been our perspective on things. We're looking at those things that are our storms in our lives. So why didn't Jesus immediately calm the seas as soon as Peter went to him? Okay. Well, first of all, I think that Peter went to the Lord and the seas were still there and they were still boisterous and they were still raging. And yet the Lord says, you know, the storm is still here and I'm with you. Okay? He could have made it stop right then, but he wanted to show Peter that in the storm, I'm with you. Nothing's changed. I'm right here the whole time. And yet, we see another thing. Why did Jesus wait to calm the seas until he was in the boat? I think it was a testimony to also the other one struggling in the boat that he is right there. He was there before when he calmed the tempest and there was a great calm. And he waited. He waited. And he waited until he got into the ship. And they were so amazed. And we see that of a truth, thou art the Son of God, is what they said. And then we find in John that immediately they were on the shore. Immediately, just like that. He needed to bring them from their fear to their faith. When I think of Jesus calming the seas, can you imagine being out in that rough storm? Probably worse than this, okay? Probably a lot worse than that. And yet, he spoke to the wind and the seas, and there was a great calm. What a transition. Only difference on this slide is the boat's supposed to be on the shore now, okay? Okay. Question 8. Once Jesus calmed the seas, where were they? They were immediately at the shore. As I said, I couldn't find a picture of Bethsaida except for some rocks and some ruins. But Capernaum today, this is an aerial view of Capernaum, and Bethsaida was very close to it. So if you think about, we're in Winter Park and Goldenrod's very close to Winter Park. In fact, we're in Winter Park, aren't we? Okay. Doesn't seem like winter here ever. Okay. Just have a few more questions. In each of the Gospels, what were the words that Jesus spake unto them? Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I think of other times in Scripture where the angels came unto, like Mary, and said, fear not. How many times do we see in Scripture, be not afraid, fear not. It is I. Oh, if our faith would be stronger. Question 10. One of my favorite questions. Why did the Lord use the sea to test the disciples' faith? Interesting question. Why did he use the sea? Do you recall that many of them were fishermen? This was their livelihood. They probably looked at the skies before Christ said, I want you to go to Bethsaida. And being the fishermen that they were, they didn't say, Christ, you know, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a great storm here, you know. No, they went because there was no evidence there was going to be a storm. That was planned by Christ. But what did he do? He sent them out on the sea, which was their comfort zone. They were used to the sea. They weren't afraid of the water. Not anything really scared them when they went in the sea. Not that I could see. I mean, I fish and I've been out and yeah, I'm pretty comfortable. I won't go out when it's storming and lightning and stuff. But it's relaxing. It's nice to be out there. But this was not a relaxing trip. Okay? But he had to find their comfort zone and make them feel uncomfortable. And I think he made them feel uncomfortable. And I think sometimes the Lord takes our pride and he takes something that we think that we can do right. And I think he challenges us with that and said, you're too comfortable in that position you're in. I need to show you that the comfort comes from me. Questions 11 and 12 are the last two questions. What other times did Jesus use the sea, a boat, and a storm to teach them to have faith? Well, we just looked at those passages. The passage where he was asleep in the boat. So he had used a previous event, and now everything, as I can see, was the same except for one thing. In the previous event, he was in the ship with them, asleep on a pillow. In this event, he was in the mountain praying. So he had already prepared them. He'd given them a trial. Have you ever had a trial and a storm in your life and you make it through and you go, aha, it's over, and then it comes right back? Okay? I know I've been there. Question 12, why was their heart hardened? Interesting question. This picture depicts the feeding of the 5,000. If you go back and you look at this passage right before Christ fed them, it was getting toward the evening, and the disciples said, you know, Lord, we need to send them away. You know, we don't have any food. And the Lord says, well, what do you have? And the Lord proceeded to feed the 5,000. Why was their heart hardened? Was it because they didn't want to serve? Was it because they didn't want to feed the 5,000? Was it because it was an exhausting day and it was just asking too much of them to get involved? Lord, just send them away. Okay, let us go on. I'm sure the Lord was exhausted, but yet said, no, I have a purpose here. And he fed them. Maybe you have a different thought as to why their heart was hardened. I don't know, but that's the only thing I can think of that's right there at the same time. So we have a few questions. In reflecting on these passages, what did the disciples do wrong? Well, the storm came and they didn't pray. The storm became worse and they still didn't pray and they became very afraid. And three, they almost didn't recognize it was Jesus on the water. They weren't looking for him. They were not in a state of prayer. Did they do some things right? For one, they were obedient to go across the sea without him. He said, go. And how many times did the Lord tell us to go somewhere? And should we hesitate or should we immediately go? Second thing was, they didn't turn back. Even though there was danger there, the Lord told them to go. And even though they were fighting against these contrary winds, trying to get over there, they didn't turn back. They kept the course. What did they do right? Peter stepped out. He had a little faith. No, the Lord wants us to use our faith. Our little faith will become greater faith as we step out in our little faith. And then, what else did they do right? Their fear turned to faith. Matthew 14:33. They worshipped him and said, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Finally. Can we take some applications from these passages and place them in our own lives? In times of trials and struggles, we need to rest assured that where the Lord sends us, He will keep us. He knows our every trial. He wants us to pray and rely upon Him. Sometimes the storm that we're in and we're praying does not immediately go away, but we still need to trust that He is there with us. And He will be with us through the storms of our life. In closing, some thoughts. After the trials, their faith was stronger. After our trials, our faith is stronger. We need to pray in our trials. It will strengthen our faith. The storms in our life are not going to cease until we're safe at home in heaven. They will continue all of our lives. Rather than let fear blind us from our faith, may our faith blind us from our fears. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I do thank You for laying this passage upon my heart, this area of Scripture that's, I know, been a blessing to many of us as we've looked at storms in our lives and how sometimes we forget how sensitive that You were to the disciples and trying to strengthen their faith, but also letting them know that they had little faith, no faith. Where is Your faith? For without faith it is impossible to please You, O Lord. Help us to remember that we will have trials and storms in our lives, and they will come and they will keep coming back. But You are faithful, You are watching, You are there with us, and that You will see us through the storms of this life. And we just pray, Lord, that we can keep our eyes fixed on You, that we don't become so much overwhelmed by looking at the circumstances and the fears around us, that as the song says, turn Your eyes upon Jesus. Help us, Lord, to turn our faith towards You. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.